Hello, I am Jessica. I love romance. I read romance. I am sci-fi and fantasy obsessed.
Yeah, I'm Emma, and it's the same for me. I'm getting better at writing the romance. If you have,
Writing?
yeah, if you were listening to the last episode when I was like, I don't write the romance, I write the romance again. The words came back. So, yeah, reading the romance, and yeah, loving the sci-fi and fantasy romance.
And today we are here with episode 3 of our podcast. We're bringing you something new and improved. Let's jump straight into it. We have got, going off the back of last week, if you joined us, where we did Angel Born by L. Penelope. We are linking with the theme, which is always one for me, which is soulmates slash fated mates. And this week is Reborn Yesterday by Tessa Bailey.
Right, I'm going to read the blurb. I'm going to do
Blurb
it
us
like
up.
I did last week, looking down. But just for you, Jess, I did my roots because I noticed when I was
Oh,
editing how
thanks.
bad they were. I know that's
Oh,
kind of like a fashion now, isn't it? Having roots. Was it like lockdown fashion?
ombre,
Is that what it's
ombre.
called? I don't even
When you
know.
fade out, yeah, I think I have it on my nails.
It
It's an
wasn't a
ombre.
fade. Let's be fair. It was just
It's
like
like in
the
Pepe Le Pew when the cat gets the paint.
line. Yeah, that's it.
There
That's
we go.
totally my speed. Pepe Le Pew. Okay.
Oh,
Right.
go, read us.
Concentrate.
Yes, sorry.
A timeless love story with bites. It was a night like any other for funeral home director Ginny Lynn until the exceptionally handsome and unfortunately deceased young man on her embalming table sat up, opened his emerald eyes, and changed the course of her life forever, making her feel quite fluttery while he was at it. Humans aren't supposed to know Jonas Cantrell or any vampire exists. It's kind of a major rule. Despite his instantaneous bond with perfectly peculiar Ginny, he has no choice but to erase her memories of their one and only meeting. That was the plan. Before a reluctant Jonas can wipe Ginny's mind clean, she reveals a secret that brings their worlds crashing together. Human and vampire, past and present, darkness and light. And while their love is strictly forbidden, it might be the only thing that can save them. I look forward to watching that back and seeing what faces you
I'm trying
were
hard not to, and when
pulling.
you've read Perfectly Peculiar, I'm like, this is why you do the blurbs, because to me
You
that would
would.
have
There
just come
was
out as,
plenty of moments in that when I was like,
oh yeah, it would
yeah.
be, that would be my Anchorman moment of blah, 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 blah. It would have just, yeah,
I've not seen Anchorman enough.
oh,
I've
have you
only seen it
not?
once. I just remember the glass case of emotion because that is one of my favorite memes. Oh no, that's me.
You're very different, because I'm like with the dudes, it's like I stabbed a man with a triton.
See, I don't even remember that bit. No,
There we go.
I need to
Shall
watch it
we?
again.
Yeah, shall we continue on?
We shall. On
Let's
that
go.
note, yeah.
Let's go. So you kind of picked this one because Tessa Bailey was massive on TikTok, but not for this chappie.
Yeah, I've read a few Tessa Bailey's, but like not the one she's most famous for. I've read one of her older rom-coms, and I read like a Christmassy rom-com she did, and I enjoyed them. They're good, and she's good at like funny banter and
God,
characters
yeah,
and
that
grumpy
is.
sunshine and stuff like that. Is like, it, yeah, she's really good. But when I saw it, I just saw it on a 99p deal, and I picked it up and started reading it. And within the first chapter, I was like, I think Jess will appreciate this one.
Well, I was
I
gonna
wonder
say,
why. Because
yeah,
it
it didn't
begins
take
in the
in the morgue.
mortuary. Yeah, it's like straight in there.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. And I think, yeah, when you messaged me, you're like, there's a morgue and there's this, and I'm like, oh, and yeah,
Yeah.
within the day, it was on
But
my Kindle.
it's like, it's not just that, it's the humor with it as well. It's like it's just dark humor
Well,
about
yeah.
all the deaf things.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
if you are the sort of person who would think there's a corpse there, you're kind of dressing it up and sorting it out. If you're going to talk to it, then you can be our friend. Because I think there are two types of people that are either going to
Yeah.
talk to the corpse or they're not. I would talk
Yeah.
to the corpse.
Yeah. And it, I don't know. Are we going to talk now, like the narrative,
we're
or are we
probably,
just going to
okay,
like be a bit random?
Just talk about, no, sorry, that's,
I don't
yeah.
know. I could do either with this
yeah.
one. I think it's,
well, okay.
Like, yeah.
Well, let's go into it and we'll try and dip
okay.
those things in as
I'll
we
try.
Go.
Try and be logical and
yeah.
follow a
path.
So yeah, as we said,
Ginny.
He's and in the blurb as well, obviously, there's a lot there. We're discovering this now. We're trying to be shorter in a bit about plot. Blurb covers a lot.
It does, it really does.
Yeah. So she's inherited half of the funeral business from her dad, who's passed away.
Yes.
And the other half is with her stepmother.
Stepmom.
And they like share the shifts. Like she
yes.
does the day shift, Ginny does the night shift, which is convenient.
Which just falls in perfectly, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, but it's not the most lucrative of businesses. They've looked at selling it.
Absolutely.
And yeah, but it's like it's underneath the Q train, is it? I
yes.
think that's
yeah.
probably going to be more relevant to people who know New York.
In America, who know what that? Yeah, like a like an underground but overground.
Yeah, I think they're near like Coney Island and stuff. Is that right? That's
yeah.
It's that area.
I've heard of it. I've never been.
I should know. I wrote a book.
I've seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I know things.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so they've not got a lot of custom. But she's quite attached to her business, and she
yes.
and she has this way of, she wants to respect the dead. She does talk to them,
yes.
But she's like, you know, in a nice way, and she's looking at this gorgeous man,
yes.
And she's just got
on
this
slab.
Feeling, yeah. Like normally, she would compartmentalize her feelings, and you know, not let it affect her, because I assume you would see all kinds, obviously,
yes.
But something about him is just, you know, making her extra specially sad.
But, yes. Yeah. So she calls him like the dreamboat at the beginning, and she's very like 50s orientated, isn't she? And she
yeah.
loves her clothes. She loves making clothes
yeah.
and things like that. And you can kind of see
mm-hmm.
that grows as well.
And you've got, you know, she's thinking about stuff and her love of those things. She finds comfort in them because obviously growing up, having been a child that grew up in a funeral home and then working in one, she's been kind of ostracized. She hasn't got a lot of friendships and
no.
really any.
No, she's known as the death girl, which...
Yes. Yeah, we'll talk about that a bit later.
Yeah.
I've got that down a little
mm-hmm.
bit for another note.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then she's talking to him and then suddenly he wakes up.
Yeah,
she's
looking at
his
handsome
pulse,
face,
isn't she?
Yeah, to make sure he's actually dead.
Because he's
yeah,
like, you're
there's
so
no
gorgeous.
Wounds. Yeah, there's
yeah.
no wounds or anything.
How
that?
Could you have died of something natural? Because you look
yeah.
very, very healthy.
Yeah, you really look super alive and
pale,
yeah,
but
cold.
Healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, cold enough. And he just wakes up.
Yeah.
Surprise. Yeah. And I love her reaction to it, because it's like, she's kind of hysterical, but not.
Yeah, she takes it quite well.
But I think this is the point where I was like, I'm going to like Ginny. Because, like, her reaction to it, he asks her, why aren't you screaming at this? And she's like, but you're alive. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
It's like, I know it's a shock, but...
Yeah, but, yay! Oh,
that's really cool. You know, you're not dead.
Yeah. And you're handsome.
Yeah. So he explains that his roommates have pranked him because it's his birthday.
Yeah, he's got a t-shirt. He's like, I've got to get dressed. And he's got a
yeah.
t-shirt with like, happy birthday on it.
Birthday boy in Sharpie on it. Yeah, I mean, at least they gave him that. Could have been worse. Could have been a stag
naked
type of scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he explains that, and it's like, it's really weird. He's like, you know, I don't go to sleep. A lot.
yeah, not much.
Okay.
Yeah.
So some of the things aren't quite adding up. But he wants to go. He's like,
yes.
I can't be here. I shouldn't be here. I have to leave. But just something about her is making him want to stay. He has
yeah.
the temptation. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bit growly and I have to go, but I shouldn't, but I can, but
yeah.
I can't, but I do, but I do.
Mm-hmm.
But he's very nice. And he wants to wipe her mind, doesn't he? He's like, I'm sorry, but I've got to
yeah
clear it.
Yeah, they go for this walk, don't they? And maybe Mara and Toons are, shouldn't be here, shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah,
but they're having like this lovely chat and stuff. And she is like, she's just funny and obviously dances to her own tune. But they click. And at the end of it, he has to reveal. He's like, well, I've got to make this not happen anymore. And she's like, well, how? How can you do that? And he shows her the fangs.
He does.
And quite rightly, she's a bit scared at that point. You know, she's not completely without any kind of sense of self-preservation. Yeah. I mean, it is very, like, on the edge, her sense of self-preservation. She's,
You know. Yeah, she's on the cusp of that knife edge.
Yeah. But, yeah, and he says he has to do it. And she's like...
She says no.
No. No, nope. Don't do that.
It's not, that was because, like, of the reason.
Memories are so important to her. She just felt so gutted about the idea that he could be taken away from her, this lovely man that she's having a connection with, and he's gorgeous. And she'll completely forget that she's had this with him.
Well, this is it. She's lost both parents, so it's kind of, you've got to think that's the only thing. And she's in a place where I think it's kind of mentioned later about the memories of what people have. And that's it. Being somewhere like that, where all you see are people's last moments and the memories are the only thing that they have left, I can imagine, that'd be the huge thing.
That's something I really liked about this as well. I think it was really a lovely balance in that it is funny and it does have that kind of irreverent dark humor that we enjoy, but also at the same time there's some really, really beautiful passages about grief
moments
and dealing with it and memories and celebrating life. And it's really lovely how they're just like in there. It's like using that vampire thing about everlasting life. There's one quote when she's talking to him later, when he's, you know, about having the eternal life, and she's like, you know, would you miss it? All of the things that you would expect, you know, getting married, having kids, starting a podcast. These are the things that you look at for your life these days.
You don't midlife crisis anymore. You just you buy a microphone and just go.
Yeah, yeah. You find someone as nuts as you and you start a podcast.
Not wrong with that. I feel a bit seen, but it's okay. So she kind of manages to put him off by saying that she's got this secret that she kind of won't tell him, so he'll have to come back, but he'll have to leave her memories intact for now.
She does like say that her life's in danger, doesn't it? Because he's like, it's dangerous, you can't know me, I have to take your memories away because it's dangerous for you. You know, obviously I'm a vampire. He doesn't go into all of the reasons, but she's like, well, my life's in danger anyway, but I'm not going to tell you what.
Yeah, it does sound a bit like you'd be talking to your kids and it's like, you got to go to bed. It's like, I can't go to bed because, you know, why? I'll tell you later.
But she's like, immediately knows how to manipulate him, because it was the same with the walk. He was like, you go out for walks at night. She's like, what, do you want to come for a walk with me? Yeah. It's the middle of the night. Oh, it's lovely. It's quiet out. Oh, I'll just go on my own then. Yeah. He's like, I don't
know.
It's like, God, now I've got to go.
Yeah, fine. But this is it, only an hour, and then I'll wipe your memory.
Mm-hmm.
No, you won't. No, you won't.
And he's going to just compel her to tell him what's going on. But she hates that idea and she resists him, doesn't she?
Yes. Oh, because he's not happy about that, is he?
No, something deeper inside of her says that you can't lose this connection that you've got with him.
Isn't it? Big.
Yeah. So he can't compel her. He has to go away and says he'll be back.
Yes. But in his stead, he does send somebody quite fun.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, she gets up the next day and she's going about her business, making her eggs in the morning. Notices there's a knife missing. Strange. Yeah.
Must have put it somewhere.
Sometimes her stepmother, who is a big drinker, might take a knife and accidentally leave it on the doorstep.
Well, this is it. Larissa is the stepmom and she doesn't want the place at all. So lost the husband, wants to get the thing gone, but nobody will buy it. And Ginny doesn't want to sell. So, begrudgingly, she's there.
Yeah, she throws things at her when she goes past and wakes her up and stuff like that. Sounds smashing. But yeah, she hears this thump, doesn't she, from Marissa's room and like creeps in there, like ready to duck in case anything flies at her head. And yeah, she turns around and Roxana's there.
Yeah, there's this Russian woman.
Oh my God, Roxana.
Yeah,
Amazing.
I was gonna say, if we didn't have the section later on to discuss about spin-off, we just have to go into her just so much more here. But no, we would do that later. But she is fantastic.
Yeah. So she's been sent by Jonas to look after Ginny in the day when he can't be there for obvious vampire reasons, because that's a rule in this one. He's not a twinkly vampire.
No, he's not. No Cullen-esqueness here.
No. Well, there's loads of Cullen-esqueness, I
Okay, well,
think,
yeah,
but
but not
it's
that
not that
bit.
way. Not that way.
No.
And she's just given Larissa a little conk on the head so
Yeah,
to keep her quiet.
just
And
in
she's
yeah.
there sharpening the knife. Because Ginny's a bit worried. She's like, okay, you've got
Who
a
the
knife.
hell
Are
are
you
you?
here
Yeah.
to kill me? No. This was total Caleb vibes from
From
Heart of
what's it? Yeah,
Obsidian.
from
Like,
yeah.
I'm just sharpening your knife for you. This won't cut anything.
No.
It's just
You gotta be safe here.
That's it. So she's there in the day to look after
Yes.
her.
But again, it did make me giggle that she's there and she's like, who are you? She's like, I'm a vampire slayer. Working for the vampire?
I'm
Yes.
going to
Right, I'm
kill
gonna
them
kill him.
tomorrow. So yeah,
Yeah,
don't
but
worry.
tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Oh, I've got a quote about, oh yeah, she's talking about Jonas. Sorry, I have quotes from this. And she's like, he has morals and principles and things of that nature. I can't stand him, really. That's her vibe, basically. No.
Oh, she's just fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she's there in the day with her and they chat, and I think she kind of lets a few little bits and pieces slip about him, and
Yeah.
as you would, if you don't like him, you're going to kind of start dropping little hints of information about him.
Yeah, and she kind of, yeah, she's giving Ginny the idea that he's obviously gone a bit puppy-eyed for her and stuff, which is not his usual way. He
No, not his
obviously
way of
well
things.
clear of humans.
Except this
And
one.
then Jonas comes back at the night shift, doesn't he? Yeah, and a bit more comes out. He tells her a bit more about the rules about why they can't, the vampire rules. They've got a high order and things like that. Oh, and Roxana's let on that he's the prince
Yeah, the
as
prince
well.
vampire.
The prince of
Yes.
darkness. Yeah. But that's more like his sire is
Yes,
in
he's
charge
not
of the
any,
high
yeah, it's
order.
not born into it, you are bitten.
Yeah. So
Three
what
rules.
are the
Three
rules?
rules.
Three rules. Do you want to do
Have
the
you?
three
I
rules?
can do the rule. I did write the rules down. Okay, so vampire rule number one, no human relationships. Vampire rule number two, no taking human lives. Vampire rule number three, no drinking from humans. And so his logic is to do one, you will end up doing all.
It's
So
kind
there
of
is
like
no.
the Asimov robotic laws, isn't it? The AI rules, you know, like you see
That's sort of a
iRobot.
half thing.
No?
No,
Okay,
no.
don't worry. Oh, it's books, actually, to be fair. I shouldn't reference the film because that's giving away the fact
How
that all
dare
I
you?
do is I watch films rather than read books sometimes. Quite often, I'll be honest, quite
Oh,
often.
don't drop a clanger of something then. Oh, this happened in there, in the book.
Oh yeah.
In Cujo, the kid didn't die.
What have you done? We're not supposed to have spoilers in this one.
Oh, we should have done that at the beginning. Sorry, spoilers. It's a, yeah, like Stephen King himself, it's a 25, it's older than me, this book. I'm not 25. It's an older than me book. If you don't know by now, why? Why?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, so three rules. You can't do, if you do one, you are likely to do any. You drink from them, you won't be able to stop yourself, therefore you will kill them. You know, if you have a relationship with them, you are probably going to end up drinking from them and therefore killing them. That it's kind of, yeah, it's the vicious circle of vampireness.
I like it. It's
Yeah.
not drink from them directly. So she asked, can you do it with a straw?
Yes, I did write that down.
Did you write that down as well? Just made me laugh. That's not really where my brain would go as well.
Yeah, just
what can't, what counts? You know, yeah. What's classed as directly?
Yeah,
you know?
Every loophole going.
Squeeze it out into a cup for you. Because obviously they must need human blood. It's going to be probably blood bank type scenario.
Yes. Can it be freely given if people aren't supposed to know what's going on? Yes, but it has to be humans. So yeah, he doesn't want to go down that line.
Yeah.
No, she's kind of, she's, but can you? But can you?
Yeah. And a little bit like, you know, aroused about the idea of it. Because we haven't mentioned, he, you know, I think they're having this conversation on the roof and he's doing one of your favourites, isn't he? He's like, she's at the wall.
KG.
Yeah, KG.
Man, you shouldn't be here. Oh, but yeah. I am.
Resisting, but by putting you in a cage.
Yes. and keeping you there and holding you down.
you know, as you do. And yeah, she's not horrified by the idea. And she kind of slightest. Thinks, is that because I'm like deaf girl and I'm a bit odd? And I'm reading it thinking, it's not just you, darling.
No, it's not just you, love.
It's not.
There's hordes of us. Really, there are.
And what is that all about? Has it become this way? I'm quite fascinated by it. Have we become this way because we associate it with romance books that we enjoy? Like, oh, he's a vampire, he's going to suck your blood. Is it because it's like teeth and lips and things? Is it bound to be? I don't know.
Because there's always the thing of sustaining the other person, isn't that? Because that does come a bit later, that she is then his life, he is hers, she is his, and you are so kind of connected that you are inseparable.
I suppose so. Yeah. Interesting.
But in real life, I'm totally not like that. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's it. I think I'm
imagine drinking
something.
Blood.
Yeah. I'm terrible because I'm like, I really enjoy this kind of thing. But then when I go to write stuff, I like get all hyper realistic. And I remember writing something about it and being like, it would be really, really hard to actually bite someone and suck it down like it was a straw. Yeah. The fangs are in the wrong place. You take out a chunk, it would dribble.
Yeah, if you didn't get a proper seal, it would like being at the dentist, it would go around. It would
this
just
is
be...
it. It wouldn't really work. Particularly well. A straw would be more effective. Make a punch hole, pop a straw. It's like, you know, do
like
a line.
Capri Sun.
Do a line. Exactly.
Not those crappy cardboard ones they've got now, though.
Amazing. Imagine that, though. Imagine like a book with the vampires, and they put in like a valve or something. Like the donors, you know, like in Wolf Gone Wild, for the ones that voluntarily, they just have a valve and they just pop it in.
All I've got is like bike pumps or something with them little things. You have all the connectors. If you've got a bigger mouth, you need a different connector to just put in.
Yeah. Like when you have like a fishbowl cocktail. We were talking about multiple partner ones.
This isn't where I thought it would go, but
this is not. There's nothing in my notes went along this line. I just had one small question, and this is what's happened.
I do this when I'm writing as well, and I could use the train of thought that goes totally around the houses to get back to where I'm going. We'll get to that in the more bit later. But yeah, So these three rules, they've discussed those. Let's go back where we were.
And that's why he needs to take her memories. He just keeps moving the goalpost. She keeps moving the goalpost.
Yeah, you know, just from the reading, just from how they're talking and how they're acting, that they're going to nudge it a bit further every single time. It's never going to happen.
He can't resist. No. They watch a film, don't they? An old film, and he pretends he hasn't seen it just so he can hear her talk about it. Which
so
you get both sides of him. He's very sweet. But also, like, suck your blood.
Yes. So, growly, growly.
Yeah. And then it goes to the following day, and we see the dressmaking club and everything that she goes to, which we'll talk about a bit later.
Yeah, I did love the name.
Oh, what's the name?
It's called Embrace the Lace. And I thought that was fantastic.
Cool. I didn't note that one down. And that night, she goes, not night, day, because she's nocturnal herself, isn't she? Anyway,
yes.
She goes to sleep, and we discover how her life's been threatened. She's not really, she's not making it up.
Yeah, she's not lying. There is something going on.
And it's like she's having this dream about.
Oh, it's Dusky, isn't it? Yes, yeah.
And then it changes into something else where she feels like she's floating, and then she wakes up for real in the middle of a highway.
In the middle of the highway, yeah. The lights coming out. I think it's just dusk, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And she only, you know, the truck manages to stop just in time, and she's got to figure out where she is and get back home.
Yeah, they're all yelling at her, aren't they, while she's trying to pelt away.
People.
Get out of the road, we're phoning the police.
I suppose you do get quite angry about people that just suddenly appear.
That would be the thing. There's no, are you all right? It's like, get out of my way, I'm going to be late.
Yeah, yeah. Or just
at least it's
stupid.
Not just a British thing.
And it would cause a massive pile-up, you know what I mean?
5 o'clock, we'll never get home now.
I think if it's like, you know, if it's an old lady in a 90 and you think, okay, they've wandered off.
Is she okay? Yeah.
Is she all right? But because she's young and, you know.
Just stood in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Probably drunk.
What's going on? That's kind of where I took it to with my notes for the narrative, because that kind
I kind of, a bit further, she gets back and he's kind of there and he senses the danger and stuff. And then he mentions his flatmates. So I kind of stopped it there. It's like, oh, flatmates.
Yeah. Yes. And also we should say, because of what's happened and she has to admit what's happened, because she just disappeared. And Roxana is like, I must go and train because I failed in my mission.
I've dropped a ball.
Someone got the jump on her. But it has to be a vampire that's done it. But the thing is, this has happened before to her, before she even met
knew
James,
any of it, yeah.
Because it's been like a day, 2 days. Yes. And it happened the other week or something.
Yes, a few weeks. I think it's about a 2 week window.
Yeah, she was dropped in the middle of the ocean, not in the middle, but, you know, just out to sea.
There was some swimming she had to get back. But yes, so he's kind of like, this is it. You will not stay here. You will come back to mine with my roommates.
Yes. Somewhere that's dark all the time, so I can protect you.
Yeah. Yes, that's it. There are more things ahead. So good. So let's move on. So
what do you want to do first?
I have action. So should we jump straight into the action? There we go.
We can. We can. Same action, here we come. Indeed.
So action. Lights, camera.
That's it. And obviously action can be used for different scenes.
Yes. Well,
I've just gone for like normal fighty type,
for that thing. Yeah, so if you're kind of talking that action, it was kind of a, this is what I message you, it was quite a way in till things started to pick up in that sort of sense. But it didn't take long to get there while I was reading, but I'm looking down and I'm like, Jesus, it's like 40-odd%. And it's,
I know. Yeah. We talked about that a little bit when we were doing the notes, and about how like it just hooked me in with the push-pull with them. And I think it's like the memory hook as well when I was doing the notes, and you know, is he get like wanting to take away the memory, and then the mystery of like who's threatening her life and stuff like that.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Just, you like fly through what I did, like, you know, the first like third of it, and then it starts getting into kind of the meat
the
of
action.
The action-y stuff.
Yes. So I got the first sort of chunk came in where we go and meet the Silenced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, there's, so we found out earlier that Jonas is kind of the prince of the vampires, and his job, I think he's kind of just taken it on himself, is to go and help the newly turned vampires, because in sort of any fandom, it seems that they're not great at controlling themselves.
No, it's kind of like this loophole in that they've said, well, you can't drink from humans and stuff. But if they then turn them, like, and you can't kill them, but if they do it past a certain point, it will turn them into a vampire because there's like venom or something like that.
Yeah, to a certain point, the body.
But then they just piss off and leave them, basically. And, you know, that's not good for anybody. So he goes in there. That's what Roxana was talking about with his morals, I think, and stuff, and tries to help them. And that's how we met his roommates, wasn't it?
Yes. So, yeah, so he does he go there for information to start with to try and figure out what's going on, or does he just...
So there's like only two points in the book where it's like follows him on his own, which is a little bit odd, but I didn't care, to be honest.
We quite like him.
Yeah, he goes in. I think there's a new vampire.
There's a new dude.
Yeah.
His name made me giggle, and it shouldn't, but it did.
What was his name?
His name was Dobby.
Oh, gotcha. There's only one reason that's going to have been put in, surely.
But he wasn't in a sack or anything, and it just made me giggle. He's a poor little vampire.
Yeah. Poor
Dobby
little.
Needs some blood.
Yeah. I think we have the title for the episode there.
Oh, God. It's a weird visual, that one. But yeah, so he goes to help Dobby.
There's a fan fiction somewhere.
Oh, there will be now.
Yep.
Why haven't you finished your NWS? Ah, there were reasons. So he goes in to help this new dude. And then while he's there, he's asking for information about what is going on with Ginny and this floaty thing that's happening, because it's a power that the elder vampires start to gain. So he doesn't know who it is.
A powerful one, can't it?
Yeah. But he's got an idea that it's got to be somebody quite big and epic.
Yeah.
And there is somebody who is there who kind of doesn't seem surprised that he's asking about this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then it all kind of goes.
Yeah. He turns up, doesn't he? He can levitate and stuff like that.
Yeah. He floats down from the roof, doesn't he?
But it's this super cool thing in that, because Ginny's there, she's waiting in the car.
In the car with the roommates.
Yeah. Who are Tucker and Elias, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She's there and she's threatened, and because it's a trauma to Jonas, he like levels up. It's like he's leveling up with vampires.
Yeah, he's had a mushroom. Cool.
Yeah, bloop bloop bloop.
Oh, I should have done that.
I have to get back. Take a breath. Right. But he defeats the vampire anyway.
Yes, he does. So his name is Seymour as well. I love all the old names.
Mm-hmm. They're cool. So they kind of think the threat's done with then, don't they? Anyway.
Yes.
But that's narrative stuff. I will move away from that.
Yes, yes. Because, so that's the first big fight.
But it kind of links to the other action thing, which I really love, the one I wrote a note about, which was because he isn't around her anymore, because he thinks he doesn't need, she can go home, and Roxana's there, and she just, it's her birthday, she decides to take her out, where does she take her? To a vampire slayer bar.
Slayer club. Enders. Awesome name.
Oh, brilliant. Enders. The roommates turn up and it's just in my head it was just like a Kill Bill scene. It was amazing because it's just like they all turn and
and they're in the middle, aren't
vampires
they?
Here there's like only two of them and a human and Roxana, who shouldn't be on their side, but
everybody turns, aren't they? That'll be a later mention
later, but so and other than that, I think a lot of the action was kind of like like what's happening to her as well. It's not as in fights, but it's just this this threat to her and stuff. So
so every time that she gets dropped or floated somewhere, it is a life or death situation.
Truly terrifying. Well, that's the idea, that you could fall asleep and wake up
somewhere just on the edge of something. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because that's it. You can't kill a human, but you can kind of put them in a position where they're not going to end up well.
That's the loophole again.
Again, there's so many. There's the last bit at the end. We won't give much away, but there's a big scene, last sort of chunk.
Yeah, big chunk.
Matrix-esque.
Yeah, it is. It all was like snowmo and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
But yes, we won't divulge.
No, can't go into that too much. So What should we do next then? Should we go into villains?
The bad guys.
Let's do villains.
Let's do villains. I'm all for that. So how many did you count?
Oh God, I didn't count them. Did you make a list? I didn't do three. That.
Did you
got
not?
You got three villains.
Okay. I got two with an honourable mention. Of course I did.
Okay. Because I kind you know of who like, I'm... obviously there's the mysterious vampire.
The vampire king, yes.
Yeah. And yeah, because you think it's one, this Seymour.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's not because the book's not over. And stuff's still happening. So yeah. You find out about that. And like we were saying in like the last section, I mean they're very scary in what they're doing, you know, the whole dropping you in the middle of a life-threatening situation. Yes. The only other there's another one that I didn't want to talk about because
too much spoilerish.
Yeah, too spoilery. But yeah, so obviously there's a lot of different threats. And yes. The other villain I had was the more ordinary villain of Galena. Is that
there
how
we go
say
yes she's my yeah so she, the honorable mention was the other one, but yeah, she is. So if you think in terms of actual threats to just a person without vampires, mm-hmm. she is the worst possible kind of human being ever.
She's so horrible.
Such a nasty piece of work. So Ginny goes to a place to kind of try and make friends, but she loves making old school clothes, like 50s kind of stuff, and she loves getting all the material and making it all together. So she's joined this place called Embrace the Lace, and I think she's a twin, but I don't remember reading the other one's name because I hated Galena so much.
Yeah, she stood out. I don't remember the other. I think there was another one that sort of joined in a bit, but yeah.
So you go to, you know the person, you go to one of these places, and even as a grown up, you're a little bit, oh, where do I go? What do I do? Who do I chat to? And then this woman walks in, you kind of take a seat and she'll be like, you can't sit there.
Yeah.
Ginny
takes Roxana with her, doesn't she?
Yes.
On one of her days when she's looking after her, and she's like, mm-hmm. oh, you can't bring people. You
can't bring a friend.
You can't bring a friend. It's in the rules. And it's like, you know, is this empty basement place?
Yeah, really? There's like six like, people here.
Why? What is it hurting, really?
Yeah. Anyone. And then she
well
noses the boss as well.
Girl, isn't she?
Mm.
Yeah, she's just nasty. And there's a very baby in the corner moment when they have the auction. They're having like a show, and they stick Ginny just in like the darkest,
the dark, dank corner.
Yeah, but she stands up for herself. I love that. I love that. That was like with Ginny's development for that, because before she's kind of like she just kind of accepts it.
Don't rock the boat.
And lets it go a bit. But then when she takes rocks with her and she's like, good luck sewing yourself a personality because they're trying to be nasty to her. But she like, that helps. I like the friendship between them.
Yeah, it's a weird mix, but it works perfectly.
It's not just Jonas coming in and taking her out of the corner. It's not all about the man. It's the friendship too, which was really cool.
Yes. So, but yeah, she was kind of, if I looked at it, if I was an actual person going places, she was the one that stuck out.
She's just horrible. Yeah, she tries to say, you know, oh, that's the nastiest thing, isn't it, at the auction thing. And she said, oh, I wouldn't buy those. They've been made in a funeral home. You don't know what diseases you could catch off of them. Oof. Like, oh my God, how old are you? Six?
Yeah.
Just, oh.
Yeah. If you saw it somewhere, you would want to go over and hug the person and just, like Roxana, if you want to go and stand next to them and go, tell her, just have her. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was, she wasn't, sometimes you don't need fangs and claws and anything supernatural, you just need to be a bitch.
This is a bit of a theme, isn't it? Like when we were doing the monster ones, and it's like the truly monstrous people aren't the monsters in fantasy necessarily.
It's the ones with the pitchforks.
Yes, exactly.
It's not good.
Do you want to go into any of the other type of villains more, or are you...
It depends how spoilerific we want to be.
It's tricky, isn't it? What do you think?
Fuck it. Clarence is the king, right? And he's Jonas's dad. So, he's kind of
I love that decisiveness.
Yeah.
Just flick to the next section if you don't want to hear any of this.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, at that, fuck it. That's it. Yeah, so we don't meet him until the very kind of last section of the book, the last probably quarter, where Jonas has to go and save his lady love, because obviously Clarence isn't going to stop. So there are snippets and bits and pieces throughout the book that the soulmate bond is there, that they have met before. And obviously Jonas keeps away because he knows that there's something, and she pushes towards him because they can feel this bond there. And Clarence doesn't like it. He wants his boy to take the reins and to rule after him. And they're quite archaic and old school with what they want to do and how the vampires want to run it.
Yeah.
And obviously that's crap. We don't want to do that. We want change. We want better things. So Jonas goes to kind of try and save Ginny's life by offering himself up.
Yeah.
And he's like one of those mild-mannered bad guys that you kind of say, oh, well, this is a bit like Lotso at Toy Story. Oh, well, you know, this is this is
could
that.
Seem and reasonable. Then and then you're like, hang on. Yeah.
No.
Like, yeah. Super ruthless and don't care.
Bet he smells
about
like
anybody.
Strawberries.
Yeah. He smells like strawberries.
And he does.
Yeah. They're very, it's very vulture-y, isn't it? I feel like
this is
kind of like, right, I need to get this off my chest.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah,
it's Twilight. And what's the second one called? Why's my mind gone blank?
Twilight. Basically.
New Moon?
Oh, New Moon. Eclipse? Eclipse. Eclipse was the third one.
I think I felt, yeah, it's kind of New Moon-ish. The first two, I feel like this book, I don't know if it was the author's intention, but to me, it feels like it's all the things I loved from the Twilight books, but for an adult with a certain sense of humour, and also kind of giving you the things that you might have missed.
Yes, the thing you might have missed.
The thing, but it's not just the thing.
It is the thing for me.
It's not just the thing, though. I also think it's a little bit like Ginny, how she handles stuff and having a bit more agency.
I'll give you that.
yeah,
a little bit less. Things. What was it? What was it that you sent me about? The will to not live. What's it called? Yeah, it just doesn't have the will to live.
Oh yeah, losing the will to live. Yeah,
yeah, that one. Exactly.
Oh, it's so wonderful. But no, she's, you know, it's cool. So that's how it reads me. It was like everything I was yearning for that kind of happens. So if you did enjoy Twilight, or even if you didn't enjoy Twilight,
if you like bits of Twilight, this will be a better one for you.
Yeah,
but yeah, and then so the other villain in the piece who kind of turned up and you went, oh, kind of expected it though, she seems the sort.
Yeah.
Is Larissa. So her stepmom she's like a step monster. She is is she a witch? I think I did write it down.
She's a witch. She has foresight, isn't she, or something?
Yes. So she's a seer. She's an immortal seer, she has been working for the king for Clarence for years.
So that's how they realized, isn't it?
Yeah.
That Ginny was.
So Ginny is his soulmate, and they nearly met before. But Larissa saw it, and she's had this sort of prophecy to say, if they find each other, then the king will be dethroned and he will die.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they made sure the first time that they met that Ginny met an unfortunate end, which is why she loves all the old school stuff, because she's kind of reincarnated.
It makes sense. Yeah. Yes. It's not just the case that she's like an old soul.
No, she's literally an old soul.
Yeah, she is. And that's why it kind of works. It's in tune. It makes sense. And also why they're kind of connecting on this level. When they first meet, they've got all these like things where they feel like they hear each other laugh and they're like, I've missed your laugh, but I don't know. This is the first time I've met you. It's it's strange.
But Larissa has, there's an up and down, isn't there? Because she says something that doesn't ring true to Ginny. She says things that are lies, and she's like, okay. So after it all kicks off and things happen, Larissa just disappears, and it's like, okay, but why did she do that and say that? And then so it's like, did she ever love my dad, sort of all of Ginny's internal thoughts, and it's like, actually maybe she did, and maybe this is
there was that. And also when you think about the prophecy, it's quite clever because it is what came to pass, even if they, you know, they were taken apart before, it wouldn't necessarily have happened back then because Jonas hadn't gone through that stage.
No, he was
of
newly
helping
what's it, wasn't
with
he?
Other people. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he
it
was newly changed.
It kind of needed to happen that way in order
yes.
for that
to occur,
that
yeah.
conclusion to occur.
Oh,
yeah,
it's the, all the Back to the Future thing, isn't it?
That's it. So was she really just helping for it to happen?
Yeah.
She's quite ambiguous, which is always interesting.
Yeah, you need the grey characters.
And if
you?
She's disappeared as well, you're like, ah, she might turn up.
Later skater.
Maybe,
cool.
maybe.
Well, we've got that to talk about in a bit, but are we a cup of steaming beverages next?
I think so. Yeah,
Love
we shall explain what that is.
Let's go.
Okay.
So, steaming cup of hot beverages.
Yeah, which we should explain is the equivalent of what you see maybe on TikTok or something like that when people give their ratings, their steam ratings, their
yes,
heat ratings.
Their little chili ratings.
And they use chili peppers or aubergines or whatever it is that they're using. Yeah. We thought, because we're British and just, yeah, it would suit us more to do steam and
yes.
steam off of tea or coffee,
yeah, tea,
or whatever you choose.
Your preferred beverage of choice.
Yes.
So I don't, even though I am very British, I don't do tea. So
no.
Yes, it was your beverage
tea,
of choice.
It's a stereotype. It's not true,
yes.
Everybody.
Yeah, can't stand it.
Strong words. But
I've tried many times.
Taste, you know.
Yeah. So yeah,
start talking about it.
Yeah, start talking about tea.
You could talk about it for forever. That is not why we're here.
We're not to discuss tea. You see, I can say, have you seen the videos that people put up about how American people make tea? And I know they're taking the mic when they're making it in microwaves and stuff just to really wind people up, but it does. Even though I don't like it, it does wind me up too. But yes.
That's entirely the Mickey, because they don't have kettles as much.
Well,
as
no, but
happen.
They boil. They have things that go on the hobs and stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
So I know. I've seen how they do it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When they put the sugar and the tea bag in, and it looks just like dirty water, and they put it in the microwave, and you're like,
okay. If you want to watch one that is much more respectful, if you go on TikTok, I think his name is Easy Cat, and I'll put it in notes. And he's so funny and brilliant. He's like got a massive following. This is not news to a lot of people. But he's trying tea because he's been watching lots of Doctor Who apparently, and he's just like all the different variations you can have, because
he
doesn't do lactose, so he used a different milk and he brewed it for the right amount of time and stuff, and apparently loads of people complained. He's like, look, no. So he's using all of the different types of milk there are to see which is the best kind. So if you want to watch a version, you might find that there's a version there that would suit you.
I quite like. I don't know why, but I sit and I don't go on TikTok often, because probably A, I'm old, and B, I just physically don't have the time. But when I do, I find myself watching videos of American people eating British chocolate, and I don't know why.
Is that why they started turning up? Because we share the profile, and I was like, why are these things? There's American people eating, Scottish tablet,
like,
and stuff like
tea
that.
Cakes. And it's been mini eggs recently, because Easter, obviously April's there, and it's just like, how can you not like a mini egg? And they're eating it, and like, oh, it's the best thing ever. I'm like, I know.
Our chocolate is just obscene, isn't it, in comparison, I think, in terms
but they
of sugar
do.
Level.
So they have something in it that's in vomit to keep it. Yeah, so people used to bring Hershey's Kisses into our work, and I've always been very pregnant in this building, and I used to smell it and go, oh, it tastes like sick. It smells like sick. And it is, there's some sort of something in it, because obviously it's so big, they can't keep chocolate fresh. Whereas Cadbury's is like 10 minutes down the road.
Check that. It feels like it might be something.
I believe it is true.
Have you checked it? Okay,
I think somebody said
it's verified.
We will show notes it. If it's not, I will drink a cup of tea in episode 4.
Right.
But no.
Oh, that is on. That's on.
Yeah, give me a variety of tea and I'll sit and drink a cup next episode. But yes, so I think I didn't give it a 4 out of 5. I just wrote down all the good stuff.
I did. Oh, okay. I went the opposite. I didn't write loads of stuff down, but I think it's about 3.5 to 4.
Yes.
And then kind of the reasoning why I do that. So okay. It's quite slow to begin with.
Yes.
And that's good. So this is why I think it, explaining how you come to these ratings is quite important, because it's different things for different people, isn't it? For me, I might rate a book that is more graphic lower than another book which has more tension that builds it up.
Okay, so if I was to rate it on a scale of 1 to 5, it would be a solid 3, even with the stuff that is in there. It wouldn't go higher than a 3.
Fair enough. Yeah, so for me, it's around a 3.5, because I feel like the tension adds to it, to me. The fact that they have the slow burn at the beginning where he won't even kiss her, and it's like, and he has to hold himself back, which means that it's like it builds up. Yeah, that's steam. That's like the kettle. It's on there, it's boiling, it's getting ready, then it's going to whistle and it's going to blow. If people know Tessa Bailey, she's quite well known for her heroes liking a bit of dirty talk.
Nice.
And actually, in her contemporaries, she goes a bit further than in this.
Oh, okay.
So if you enjoyed that side of it, but it's not even higher, try another contemporary. They are very alpha. I think they will be. I know it's rom-com though.
Well, this is it. I don't dip into rom-com as much. I don't not like it. It's just kind of not my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I need to. Maybe there needs to be one out there.
Possibly.
Well, what was the TikTok darling? That was, I did write it down. It happened one summer. Have you read that one?
I've not read that one. It's on my list to read this year because everyone's like, oh, you must. I've read Window Shopping, which is a Christmas one. And then I've read Fix Her Up, which is one of the quite a bit older ones. And that's ex-baseball player.
Oh, okay.
See this thing with the sport.
Yeah, the sporty.
Again,
yeah,
I don't know.
I've done a few sporty
balls to me, but I seem to read these books with, Yeah,
I'm not gonna say.
Don't go there. Don't go there. I know. No.
That's a very faux pas. So to me, kind of going through it, I'm used to the quicker leap into it. So a first kiss at 50% was a bit weird. I can see the tension building, but he's caged her in. There should have been something before that for me. No, there shouldn't have been. I would have liked. I should rephrase.
Because clearly it works for other readers.
It works perfectly.
It depends what you're into. But I mean, I'll be fair, if I get to 80% and
there's
not
been anything,
that's too slow burn.
Don't shove a sex scene in the epilogue just because
not if it's the only sex scene. I don't mind a sex scene in the epilogue, but I do feel kind of like it's a little bit superfluous at that point.
Yeah, if it's the just because you have to,
because
sometimes
it's just sex then, because there's no development
unless it links to the next book in a certain way.
Yeah,
then I'm okay with it.
I've never come across that, but
I can see that my brain is like, okay, if you don't want it in the first one, because some of the ones I've read, especially the bigger series, have kept it very much quiet and minimal, because the next book is going to just bam.
I see where you're going with that one.
But
when it does kick off for you, Jess, I mean, he goes 0 to 60 and
I forgot they were in the bathroom,
I mean, literally nearly bangs the door off of the hinge.
Popping all the light bulbs.
See, that's very Caleb as well, isn't it? The whole, stuff going on around. Like, she thinks
the
lights
the
at the fairground at Coney Island start flickering when they first start getting involved.
If that's not love, then I don't know what is.
Mm.
But so it was kind of, there were bits that kind of could have edged it over to a bit higher, but
I wonder. I wonder what will happen in the second one. Obviously, it's not a continuation of
No.
that, but we can talk about that in our next section. If
Yes,
you're
we
all
can.
good with cups of steaming tea
We
or
are.
coffee, sorry,
Coffee.
being
Yes.
prejudiced there.
Yes. Spin off.
Yeah, spin off next. Let's do it.
So spin-offs.
Yeah.
Now, again, I have numbers. I have, well, it was two, but it's kind of three.
Okay. Okay. I don't think I've really got past the first, to be honest.
The first one. Well, it depends. I think you probably want one. I don't know which one you'd want more than me. So he's got two roommates.
I think, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, the roommates, because they're standalone ones, but it's going to be a series set in the same world, which is quite common for romancey stuff, and I like it, which is
yeah, paranormal, especially.
I can be a chaotic reader for that reason. Like, I want to read one couple, but I won't want to read another couple necessarily.
We're not pulling that thread either today.
No, because you'll stop speaking to me.
Yeah.
So obviously, throughout the book Reborn Yesterday, you meet the roommates who are Elias and Tucker. And you also meet Roxana. And there are these little hints. And like,
they're not little hints.
They're not little hints.
At the end, there's a big, like, where is she?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That something's gone on between Roxana and Elias, which is probably why she's not killing them.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it was before he was turned, wasn't it? I think they do admit that.
Is there a hint?
I think so. I think it's towards the end that she actually admits that something happened between them. But it was before he was a vampire, because obviously she's a vampire slayer, I guess.
Yeah, so
they've got the feelings, and I love him because he's so mysterious. You don't even see, it's like, I don't think you watched Space Loads, did you? But the daughter who lived upstairs in space, if anyone watched this, the sitcom with Simon Pegg, there's the teenage daughter and you never see her face. She's always just a blur of legs running down the stairs after having an argument with her mother because she's a teenager. And that's what he's like. He's always got his collar up.
Yeah, you don't see his face, his hood's up.
Yeah. And that's the second book, basically, which I have downloaded and I'm probably going to start when I'm on holiday.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I knew I wanted to read it, but when I did read the notes for this, I was like, it's time. I've got to do it now.
Yeah,
I've
it's now. It.
Yeah, Roxana's too good.
Which he is, but for me, I do love a sarky cocky dude. So Tucker is in there.
That surprises me because he's quite golden retreverish. He's quite
happy, and I
didn't think he'd be your.
This is it. I should be the dark broody one, shouldn't I? But in this, I just love the way he was. His little one-liners with her when she's like drinking the beer and stuff, and then she gets something happens to her, and he's like,
"Oh, you've put down the same quote." I
don't know. I just got that he's like, fix it, Jonas. Fix
it. Oh, no, when they're talking about relationships. She's feeling insecure. Fix it.
Yeah.
But and also there's the bit where I think they're having the beer or something, or it's later, and she gets a call from her stepmother to say they've had a body brought in. And she says, oh, that's great. We've got a new body in the mortuary. And he goes to Jonas, she's a keeper. He's just like. But he does it in like a way he's not being mean. He's just funny.
Yeah, he just giggled all the way. And just when you meet him and he's like got a cigar in the car and it's just like, you're gonna
he's
be
an
so
Uber
good.
Driver. That's his job. Yeah.
So good. So I am very much looking forward to Tucker.
What
I did miss was morgue sex.
We didn't talk about it in the Cups
we didn't
in,
no I, and I even wrote it down in there we should have
how
discussed
could we
Mark
miss
sex.
It I've got it here on my notes
I
too
know,
more
so do
possibilities.
So there was a moment, we had an interview recently with somebody and they mentioned something along the lines of I can't even remember what it was because we were just giggling about the fact that we chatted about morgue sex.
It was terrible. We had this conversation which I have screen captured and I am probably going to put on our Instagram feed because I read the book first and then I recommended it to you. And then we were talking about it, and at the end you were like, I was expecting something to happen in the morgue.
In the morgue.
And I was like, yeah. Really? Okay. It's just like, that there was going to be morgue sex. And I was like, it just never occurred to me that that would happen at all. This is the difference in our brains. But we were talking, yeah. But when I read Her Soul to Take, and there was clearly like an abandoned church and a cemetery. Yeah. I was like,
it was cemetery sex.
There's totally going to be sex there. I think that is more of a common thing. I've heard about a lot of cemetery sex. I mean, wasn't it Mary Shelley that like lost her virginity in a cemetery?
It wouldn't surprise me, but
yeah,
I've not read it. I've seen the play many times.
I was like, no, I just didn't. I mean, I suppose it does make sense. There's like, the gurneys and stuff.
Yeah,
like
that. Pull one out.
But
always happens. Yeah, you wouldn't do it on the table where the dead person is. You've got so many drawers and trays.
Yeah. You could like create some kind of very convenient shape for yourself.
Yes. Okay. There must be loads of sheets everywhere to cover up the bodies. You'd be nice and toasty.
It's very cold.
Yes. Do we have ice? Do morgues have ice? These are questions.
They've got embalming fluid. I don't know. Ooh. I don't think that is. I know exactly where your brain went.
Did it involve the rock?
No.
Mine went to Baywatch.
Oh, I was thinking about that before. The new Baywatch film. Yeah.
So funny. Go watch it. It looks I saw it and I thought, no, it's gonna be rubbish. And I didn't stop laughing the entire
way. Absolutely the same. I was like, I never even used to really watch Baywatch. And I thought, it's gonna be so bad, but it's so good.
Very good. Yeah. That would be a reason to stop morgue sex.
But yes, the interview we did, to be fair, this can link on. Should we say who it was that we got
I was gonna say, do we leave that till the end bit and sort of we'll put that in when we finish.
Are we ready for that then? We're ready. You said you had three for spin-off or is that three?
So it's Roxana if she wasn't with who she was with, definitely needed a spin-off,
but she is gonna have the spin-off anyway.
She is gonna with Eliza.
I will let you know how it is.
Yes. Keep me posted, because I have a holiday and some books to read too. But I need to Guns N' Roses first. I'm not going to explain that.
We won't explain that. Not this time round.
Point, perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get on to our Spinning Wheel of Awesome.
Yeah, Spinning Wheel of Awesome. Spinning Wheel of Awesome. You can go first today.
I can go first
if you
then.
Want
cool.
to.
Mm-hmm. I
have a pen ready, so I'm not going to do my search this time. Oh, do we need to say the book first?
Okay, can do. I'll put this on and you can do that bit then.
Okay, so we are going to do A Marvelous Light next. Which I probably a lot of people have heard of. It only came out at the end of last year. How do we say her name? Freya Mask?
Freya Mask.
It's the link we're using is like a new world being opened up. So when Ginny is... you know, she discovers vampires in A Marvelous Light. It's a similar thing, but with magic.
Other things, yes. Yeah. Magic.
So it's having the thought that you've got this ordinary world and then a veil being lifted. That's kind of the trope we're using for this one. And so we get ready to do the spinning wheel.
I am. I'm ready. I've put all my things back in, haven't I? I have indeed.
I love that it could be really random things. Like, I know stuff that would be good to talk about, but it could just not end up being that.
Yeah. Names. All these things.
Names. Okie dokie.
Trying to think. There are a few in there that we can pick. Cool. All right, let's see. Ready, steady, go.
I feel like I might do research on that one. It might be something that the names are more significant than you think, maybe.
But this is it. Quotes. That's one for you.
Favorite quotes.
Well, this is it. I was talking to my eldest, who does love to put words down and stuff, and she's like, well, where do you find them from? And I'm like, well, it's up to you, but some people do go into super depth about animals and restarting and rebirthing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people do, because I don't know name meanings, but it would be interesting to see.
I'm just going to go, and I forgot to close my Facebook. I am going to do that to protect the privacy of people's. There we go. Here we are. Right, let's do my spinny spin.
Spinny wheel of awesome.
Indiana Jones. Again.
Excellent. And again, that'll be quite cool. That'll be some good ones.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of music now.
And the romance. See, if I keep getting like the same ones all the time, I might take them out. Just to keep it mixed up. But I don't know. It's still cool to do it.
Mine would just say villains.
That's it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't even think we need to say a huge amount more. But yeah, we will say, if you were listening to the bit before, we were chatting to Freya Mask because she had been put forward for, and she won the
Fantasy
Romance Award. So we were chatting to her, and one of her later books has something to do
with mortuaries. No, it's not hers. It was a recommendation. I'll watch it again. So
yeah, we'll have to go find it.
The notes. But she was recommending books that she was looking forward to in the year coming. And one of the, there was a woman, it was the woman that works in a funeral home or a mortuary. And as soon as she said that, it was terrible because we just read the book. And we were
is there milk sex? What?
We did not. Yeah. It's awful when you have an in-joke and there's only one other person who's like, we need to be straight-faced. Because she's so lovely, and it was a pleasure to talk to her.
Yes.
Because it was like, we're very in love with A Marvelous Light.
It's sort of everywhere now. I was telling you, I went into Forbidden Planet to look at things, and this book is there, and I'm like so glad that it's at every level. It's not just a Waterstones or a romance thing. It's everywhere. It should be read by all the people.
Yeah, it's just because I think, it's such a good fantasy romance in that it covers both sides so well, and that's really cool to see in traditional publishing, because that's part of the reason we started the podcast is because
it's a struggle.
It's a tricky genre because it's a cross genre and it's not always getting the love that it deserves, and so it's fantastic to see books like that out there getting the love they deserve and being great with representation too.
Indeed. Brilliant. Cool. So we will definitely see. Well, we'll be here next week. Hopefully you will be too.
That'll be lovely if you are. Yes. Yeah, definitely. And we mentioned some of the places that we might be dropping some extra things, like Instagram and TikTok and stuff
Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Yeah. Probably not. TikTok. I don't do TikTok. That's your domain.
I need to get my TikTok game on as well. It's hard. It's a young person's game and it makes me feel very old on there. I do my best. I watch it more than I actually do anything.
But this is it. My friend's daughter is nearly 22 and she's got like her concentration span, she's told me, is like 5 seconds. She's like, if I watch it for 5 seconds and I'm bored, I just swipe it off.
Where it's like literally you put adverts and stuff go at extra time. It's like time and a half because so you can get the information in subliminally into people's minds, because they will flick off of it so quick.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. It is a bit, I mean, maybe we're all going to become like, it's like a next evolutionary stage. You're all going to be like super hyper fast people. Not me. I'm going to stay like this and die off. Seriously.
My lazy brain is like, they need to invent time travel and stuff to whisk me there, so I don't have to put the effort in to make my brain go faster.
Exactly.
Math brain fest, no good bad.
So you can visit our TikTok and see some of the stuff I managed to put on there as well. And it's all SFF Romcast. And if you've listened to this, you can watch it on YouTube, on our channel. And
invite your friends. Yeah. Have a party. You can watch it on Spotify now, which I did in the gym, and it was really funny.
That's cool. It's a brand new thing they're bringing
It
out. We've been one of the lucky ones. There's
Ooh.
only that they select few. Maybe they're telling that to everybody. Could be.
Maybe.
No, I'm always
I love you the most. Like, do this.
No, it's not really special. We're not special. Yeah, and you can listen to it on a podcast. Anchor FM has all of the links for Apple and everything and Google yes. and things like that. And that's it.
So we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Have a lovely one. Bye.
Indeed. Be good.